All right, y'all. Let's get for time. I know we got Chiefs game later. We've got and you guys have been who's been here all morning, both services. You're like, yo, I've just been here all day. I got here like six. Yeah. Thanks for being here and thanks for staying. I know it's always kind of a battle to try to find like convenient times to do to get on the same page with stuff, and that's not just like a video call and having a meal together and stuff like that. So we were really excited about getting together to talk about some things that we want to change and do maybe a little differently for 2024. I mean, because I know we've kind of like ridden a pretty intense wave this semester, right? Like, I don't know. We've got more kids coming, and it's been. I feel like Wednesdays can sometimes feel like we're just like holding on for dear life at times, but it's been awesome because our team has grown and we have so many more like our youth ministry is growing and a lot of good things are happening. So let's maybe at our tables just for a couple minutes. I just like doing this usually when we get together because I think it's encouraging. Just talk about some wins, some things that you're like, man, this was awesome this semester student ministry wise. So yeah, chat about that for a couple minutes and we'll circle back and you know, yeah, we'll kind of open it up and share. So. Y'all, let's share some. Let's go around and share some wins. Maybe just one from each table, maybe.
You guys have the most consequential one. So.
Oh yeah, River Cheney getting baptized.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
What you got?
It's a competition. The celebratory con. Love that. Big time. Well, ladies up front, what about you guys? Any big wins shared?
Shannon's gone. She had some big wins.
Well, they had several rapid
events.
Yeah. Yeah. Girls
that have been there for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Then a lot of.
And she was impressed with the number of girls that went there.
Mm-hmm. The
evangelism.
The feedback that I got specifically from a few of your parents, too, was like, not only did my kid have a lot of fun, but they, like, actually came home talking about, like, what they learned and, like, about how to actually, like, practically, like, the Fowlers, for example. You know, I'm like, talk about, like, King Clown Around, you know, Logan Fowler. Like, one of those kids, you're like, bro, stop talking. But, like, you just never know. Like, I'm always so inspired in, like, you know, the kids that are just like, I want to punch this kid in the throat. Like, you know, it's like, sometimes, like, the ones that God's doing the most in, you know, so.
They're all eighth graders.
I got one of your seventh grade boys that was there all Saturday, and I'm like, ha, I'm going to, like, just kick this kid off a bridge. You know? But it's like we had a moment, like he walked away. He had something come up in his like family that I saw him getting kind of emotional, and we got to meet and pray and just kind of debrief the day at the end of the night. And it was just like I was so encouraged by that. Like you just never know. Sometimes it's like God's working in the places that seem where it's the most resistant.
Yeah.
I've had like five or six really, you know, conversations like that. But I'm sure you've seen some of that too. Back table, what do you guys got?
Yeah, one of our girls is gonna get baptized, Kaylee, and then she was praying about who she wanted to have do it, if it was Ryan or me or her dad, who's the pastor actually at a church down the street. And she said at the conference that it just became really clear to her that she wants Henley, who's another one of our girls, to baptize her.
Cool.
So I'll ball my face off when that happens. But I was kind of convicted because I always just assumed, like, how Kaylee talked and how she grew up. And we've had lots of conversations and one-on-one time, but she was kind of really private about, like, I guess she never really, like, accepted the Lord into her heart until CIY just this past summer.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so, I don't know, that was really convicting and just challenging to me to, like, keep asking those questions and not assume anything, I guess. Like, I wasn't trying to do that or make my job easier or anything, but just an encouragement just to keep pressing in and seeing where they're at.
Yeah, big time. That's amazing. And she's an awesome kid. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So
at our table that the ninth grade boys, I feel like, are at a point where we can potentially, depending on how us as leaders interact with them, could be at a point where we're no longer the fool around, but now having some discussion, because there are so more often every week, more kids that are kind of like having good discussions, having good questions, having, so just fostering that for us through the ninth grade boys, which is about 40.
Yeah, yeah. That's an awesome, it's a dynamic group. Yeah. What's the term? Explosive. Well, I mean, we could spend the whole time just going around sharing wins, which that would be probably beneficial for all of us just to leave encouraged. But I think a huge win is bringing Kylie on the team, staff. Yeah, that's huge. Yes. She's going to get up here and share some stuff with you guys. So that's been massive, you know, from like a staffing standpoint of just helping me with things, because I'm like, felt like I was slowly dying, you know, this last year. So that's been huge. But we were kind of collabed on what we wanted to cover in this meeting, and we've been doing a lot of things that we feel like we need to kind of shift in order to, like, just kind of prepare for future growth and just to do what we do better. So that's a lot of what we wanted to talk about today. I don't know exactly where I'm at. Okay. Here's our kind of our agenda for the rest of our time. We'll kind of get to team stuff here in a sec. And we kind of are going to skip over this a little bit just for time on the celebrate and challenge. We sort of just did that. But later, we'll talk a little bit about some events, announcements, and a few other little changes that we'll be doing. And then Kyla will get up here and talk a little bit about just some culture things that we'll be focusing on in the future, as well as kind of rolling out sort of a behavioral plan that her and Shannon Noller kind of put together mostly, and just a couple other little details. So one of the things that we kind of behind the scenes, raise your hand maybe if you've been a part of some of those conversations about teams, LSN small group teams. So one of the things that we've been doing the last few months is just like talking about like, hey, how can we best get everybody what they need when they need it? Not just from like a resourcing, like, hey, where's the small group guide, but like, you know, resourced and equipped and, you know, placed to like brainstorm and talk through problems. That kind of like, I guess, term that I would probably use for that would be like coaching and resourcing around like what's going on, not just in like your small group time, but like with those relationships, families, you know, like when it comes to leading a small group, like there's a lot to it. We all know that. We've all are part of life groups and have been a part of that and know, like, you know, it's a complicated beast leading, especially with students. Like it's a unique, really, really tough thing. I love doing that stuff. I love having conversations with all of you on that and problem solving and praying together and talking about what's working and how things are going. But I know like not enough of those conversations are happening, because I'm getting spread thinner and thinner. Like Ruben and I were getting lunch, you know, maybe, I don't know, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, we were at KC Thai, and you're like, bro, like, you need some help. And I'm like, I do need...
Nice way. I said that, like, supportive.
You're getting great hair. I say, I do need help. And so he was like, well, why don't we just like spread the, and then like I met with Al like later that week and he said the same thing. We were at like Potbelly. He's like, bro, you need some help. And I'm like, yes, yes. So,
I probably did say it that way.
So, not for like, you know, we had to kind of narrow the list down of people, some of it's bandwidth, some of it's time, some of it's skill set, but we, kind of got together, Kylie and I did, with a few people, and we're still sort of working on what this is going to look like and are going to need more and more people to do this as we expand, is have kind of what we're referring to as team leaders. So like from a structure standpoint, it's kind of, I sort of felt like this, like there's like our staff, and most of our teams are kind of like this, and then there's like everybody on your volunteer team, right? And it's like, how's everybody doing? There's like, you get like 50 people wide. And you guys are real staff. You ever felt overwhelmed by this? Exactly. Not sustainable. How many of you guys are group leaders and feel that way? It's like me and 40 boys. And you're like it's the same thing. It applies. So it's like eventually, like that's what we have to kind of like divide and conquer. So it's going to be basically what we're looking at. I'm going to say like directors or ministers, or that's like a staff level. And then for our groups, what we're looking at doing is having like a team leader level. And that's kind of like, you know, if any of you guys are on different teams at the church, we do this as well, like where we have like coordinators, like, you know, if you're like for our safety team, like David Plymeyer is really like the, not just a team leader, he's the coordinator, he's doing the scheduling, he's kind of in charge of all those guys. Carrie's kind of over that, you know, then it goes to him, then it goes to all the guys on the team. So what we're kind of looking at doing is in breaking up our small group leaders, all of us, you know, that are in this, for the majority of us that are here. And would love to eventually have this happen everywhere, like with tech as well. You know, we're kind of sort of just starting with probably the most critical piece, our small groups, of breaking everybody into teams and having not just one team leader, but multiple. Because I think we've tried that. Like, you know, Angie's kind of helped us with some of that stuff in the past and a few other people. And we've kind of had a failure to launch a little bit by just saying, like, hey, you alone, can you be responsible for these, like, 10 or 12 people? So we wanted to break out teams into kind of like 4 to 8, and we'll kind of see how it goes. But just really simply by, as you'll see here in a sec, by the age group of students that you work with, it just kind of makes sense. It's like all the, you know, like Ruben and I are going to be working with the 10, 11th and 12th grade guys, and they're like those leaders, because that's where we're at. We're already kind of currently serving in that capacity or are connected to it. So like I said, the purpose is kind of for a mixture of care, coaching, and resourcing. So the care is like, you know, that side of, hey, how can we pray for you? What do you need? Do you need a break? Are you burned out? Do you not want to serve anymore? Like, what can we do to help you? Like that kind of stuff. Not that you're the one with the answer, but that you're just kind of getting a pulse on everybody in the team, you know, or like that's kind of the role of what your team leader's doing with you, as well as just kind of digging into what's going on in your group and how relationships are going or what's not happening. And then just giving you resources of what you need, you know, to be able to continue to do that healthier at a higher level. Because the reality is, like, I can only provide so much of that, you know, for, you know, Kylie and I can only do so much of that. And we're doing you a disservice, you know, by not helping make sure that those conversations are happening a lot more regularly than they're happening now. So that's what the teams will do, is get together and talk about that, this kind of mixture of meeting and praying and encouraging each other. We're not going to micromanage what goes on there. We have met kind of with this evolving, you know, team leader group a few times. I know some of you all in the room have been a part of some of those meetings, already, you know, but really the three things that, you know, my ask is for you guys that are all going to be in that team leading role, but also for you guys to know of what you should be getting from them, if you're going to just be a member of one of the teams, is that they're in your space. Like, another way of saying these things is to encourage, resource, and intercede for you. You know, really simply, I ripped that straight out of Andrew. That was like a prophetic thing where Andrew Bowers was preaching about that passage in Philippians he took, you know, and how he was like, this is what the church is supposed to do for each other. And I was like, it was that same week that I was working. I just met with you guys and I was working on the document for like, hey, what do we want our leaders to do? I'm like, that's it. If we could do anything, we just want to encourage each other towards what we're doing. You know, if you're discouraged or you're dealing with something in your personal life, to have know that there's going to be people that are like going to be coming alongside of you that aren't, you know, just our church staff or whatever that are on this team to help resource and get you what you need, point you to God's word, get you. You're like, hey, I don't know how to solve that problem, but let's pray about it and we'll brainstorm it together type thing. And then prayer and intercession is the biggest thing, you know. So I was talking to Zach McNeil about this because he's done a lot of group, like life group coaching with some different people over the years through the church. He's like, if you just got together and prayed together, that's a win. That's going to be more beneficial than you would know, even with all the other stuff that you could get into. So my ask for those of you guys on it, your role is really just to fully participate. So like if your team leaders are like, hey, how you doing? Just text them back, you know, or they say, hey, can we get it on the phone, you know, for a couple minutes, like, you know, take the call, make it a priority. If they're like, hey, we're doing coffee at my house, you know, desserts, you know, once a month or whatever, like we're all going to link up at Starbucks, you know, this morning, you know, if you can move some things around, just make that time a priority and just whatever fully participating looks like for you to get, because that's how you're going to get the most out of getting together. It's the same as if, you know, we were, you know, you or I were going to get together to talk about it. Like, you know, just that's how all these things work. You know, we want our kids to fully participate in group. We know that if we're not really fully participating as leaders, we're not going to get much out of it. And I think with this stuff, it's all the same. So is that hopefully pretty fairly straightforward at this point? Any questions before we kind of roll on? Well, like I said, we're kind of in a beta test season with that. So but that's kind of our ask is that we run with that this semester. You know, and if you have some major vetoes, then I guess you can not fully participate. Okay, so we're going to do some upcoming events and stuff real quick. This week, our last Christmas party.
The last Christmas party?
We'll never do a Christmas party again. Wow. This is it. This is the only one. But our last LSM is this week, and it is a Christmas party. So we're all, Kylie and I are planning what we're going to do with that tomorrow. We're going to have a nice little Christmas break for a few weeks. And unless we are completely vetoing, like, hey, none of us are going to be in town, I would love to get us together the Wednesday before and do a little bit of, like, a different type of meeting for us to do some goal setting and some planning and more prayer-focused the Wednesday before we come back. So just the same time we normally have LSM on the 3rd, and then we're back that next Wednesday on the 10th. I'll just text you guys and kind of get a pulse on who's available and in town, and we can roll from there. So we'll kind of put this like an asterisk next to the huddle. First LSM back is the 10th, and then we've got winter retreat coming up on January 19th to the 21st. So that's sneaking up on us. So if you're an 8th through 12th grade leader, would love to have you guys go. To serve as cabin leaders. This is a lot more small group time. How many of you guys have been to that before? Been to the winter retreat before? Popped in? Yeah. A lot of you guys. It's an awesome retreat, spiritual formation focused. Our theme this year is around this idea of being formed into the likeness of Christ. And we're going to look at that from a lot of different angles. So sort of like this idea of like we're like pieces of clay, and we're going to kind of have like some type of visual on stage of like how, you know, there's different things that like that change our form that we let into our life, and how Christ restores us to the form that he calls us to be, and finding our identity in him. And I'm really excited for this theme. It's going to be really great. We've got a lot of awesome workshop content that's sort of across the board. I know some years in the past it's been a little bit more like, I don't want to say like a purity retreat, but kind of, you know, honestly.
That's really what it was.
Yeah, for and we've
installed. We talked about purity exclusively.
Yeah, it was like pretty intense, you know, and sort of like I feel like every year we've sort of taken a little bit broader of an approach, and this will probably be the most broad on that topic of year that we've ever had, for a variety of reasons. Mostly just to have it be more about holistic spiritual formation rather than just with a specific area. We've changed that over the years from a lot of feedback that we've gotten from different people. So it's going to be a great retreat. It's going to be at Youth Front West, so not this one we do middle school camp at, but the one that's right here in Edgerton, so it's close. And we are going back to Snow Creek for our fun day outing on Saturday, so all afternoon we'll be there, unless something crazy changes. And then summer camp dates. So if you are thinking or praying about going to summer camp, would love to have you guys at camp. It's going to be great. We are going to, going back to Tennessee. We were sad. We tried to go to Michigan, and they sold out. Like, in literally, it was 3 minutes after registration opened, and that was the only other spot that worked with their dates, and they were already sold out. So, and there's something fishy going on about, you know, we're meeting next week to be like, how do we be a part of the meeting before the registration opens that locks in your spot? So that's going to be our aim and our goal for next summer. Not that we haven't really had great experiences out of Tennessee, but we just want to change it up. Okay, now, Kylie, officially, you're up.
All right, Kylie.
Yeah, Kylie!
Okay, so I get to talk about culture, and LSM has kind of snowballed in the last couple of years, which is really cool, and the Lord is bringing all kinds of kids through our front door, and Ryan's just been kind of running after the snowball, and so it's fun to be in a role where I can help him maybe catch the snowball for a little bit. But culture. So when you look at Scripture, Jesus and his life and the culture of those who followed Jesus, his motive was love, and his mode was service. And so when we think about the culture of LSM, and we're going to start kind of this next semester sorting through some different culture statements, and Ryan and I are going to, with some of those team leaders, kind of sort through, like, so hopefully maybe in August when we meet and kick off a new school year, like, we'll be able to hand you a sheet that says, like, this is, you know, our hope for the culture of LSM. And we, you know, those of you who have served in youth ministry long enough, you've watched, you've watched it change, and Gen Z, if you nerd out on them and if you read about them like I have, they're their own beast. They're a whole different generation. They're our nation's first post-Christian generation, and so they don't, like, a lot of them haven't come and sat at church on an Easter morning or a Sunday night, and so they come into our sanctuary or even our gym or our lobby, and they just have no clue. They've never been told, this is how we respect something, this is what we do in a sanctuary, this is why we're here. And so we're just having to kind of rethink all of that through a new lens of this awesome, incredible generation of students. So the win is that we want students to be transformed into the image of Christ. I know we have a lot of really tricky students right now, and what we really would love, because it'd be easy for us in our flesh, is for them to be little obedient robots, but that's not our heart for them, and it's not your guys' heart for them. So we are going to talk about a discipline or a, like, you know, these are the steps we're going to take when we run into those situations at LSM. But our ask is that you just always remember, like, our heart for these kids is that they become transformed into the image of Christ. We don't want little tiny LSM robots who walk into LSM and they just do the right thing because they're here. So that's kind of, it's a catch 22. It's kind of fun that they come in and they're totally themselves. Like, they don't play the church face. They don't put on a pretty face and, like, sit politely. They just have no clue. They're just them. Like, you get all of them. They show up and you get all of them, which is really cool. But it does feel tricky and hard sometimes. So that's kind of where culture is headed. So this is our behavior plan. The leader asks, we are going to implement, and I know there are going to be many students who do not appreciate this. We're going to give it a try. We're going to implement a seating chart. So if you've ever been to CIY, you kind of walk in and they show you what section, like, legacy sitting in for that night. So we're going to try that at LSM so that you know, as leaders, exactly where your students are going to be, and you can sit with them. We're also going to continue with the one seat per seat rule. And everybody in a seat. So everybody in a seat and one seat per seat.
Can you repeat that rule?
One seat per seat, okay? Just because, you know, then there's less, like, accidental bumping that happens. So those are a couple of, like, we're going to try these things and see what happens. We're working on, like, a graphic that will show you the sanctuary. And we can try to, like, get that to you guys ahead of time with the notes so that you kind of know, like, this is where my students should be headed. And then they'll be able to see that. There was lots of, like, well, my so-and-so brought a friend, and, like, we're not going to be, like, black and white about it. But for the most part, be black and white about it. Does that make sense? Okay.
You can't sit there.
Like, I think it'll, I think, I don't know. In my mind, it changes.
Okay.
I think that's our intention initially. I mean, yeah, we'll play with it and see how it goes. But yeah, is that way? It's like kind of partially to keep it kind of fresh.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, ladies, let's rally. We're gonna go sit for a ride.
The back corner.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You get comfortable. We all go to the same spot in a room for a reason. It's comfortable. I'll run through kind of our steps. So the expectation as leaders is that you sit with your group, in their assigned section, and be really excited about the assigned section, because we all know that if we're bummed about something, then they think it's a total loss as well. So the first thing we're going to do is we're just going to ask them nicely to stop. Like, hey, that's distracting. Can you please stop? And then the second thing we're going to do is we're going to give them a warning. So you're like, hey, please stop. Hey, like, if you continue with this behavior, we're going to go take a lap. Just like another warning. Next time, you're out. So then third strike, you're out. So the third time they're being distracting, you've asked them to stop. You've given them a warning, then you're just going to ask them to step into the lobby with you. Sometimes it's like just a squirrely kid, and you literally just need to, like, take a lap or let them run down up and down the hallway a couple times, and then you can come back in with them and give them a chance. You guys have discretion. You know your students best. The next step is if you've removed them and say things are escalating. We have a couple of those kids that just can't let things go. Then you get Ryan or I involved. So, like, hey, we've stepped out. I've tried to, like, just let it go, or we're sitting out here and things are still escalating. Then you're just going to get a hold of Ryan or I. And we always have walkies on us. Usually during session is when we have big problems. And usually our security guys during session are sitting right outside those very front doors. So, and then the fifth thing is Ryan or I will contact their family. And we'll either involve the student in that, or we'll just call the family, whatever, depending on the situation. But that's kind of our, like, universal, we're going to ask them, we're going to warn them, we're going to pull them out, we're going to give them a chance. If you're like, this kid just needs to get the wiggles out, like, get the wiggles out and head back in together. If that kid just needs to, like, take a break altogether, then you're just going to hang out together until session is done. So, any questions about that? I know it's kind of hard because you can't see it. Was really pretty for you. Al.
How will we be communicating this to the students just so they understand that there's going to be this expectation?
Yeah, that's my next slide. If Ryan didn't mess it up too. But questions about what you're doing. Well, I'll have Rachel print this and put it in your folders so that you can find it if you can't remember it, just so that we have that. But
David.
Will there be like
that's one.
How big a section they're gonna be in, or is like is it gonna be
for the seating chart?
Yeah, is that just gonna be on the screen or something?
I think it's gonna be a yeah like a graphic that we'll just put up on the screens like as they come in, and then they'll get to look at the sanctuary.
Yeah, there it is.
That's not what it looks like. It but thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
I think I copied over.
That's okay. Okay. So that is that. I think the student expectation slide was still, yeah. So this is the student side. We are going to, from the stage in January, we're going to have a little family meeting because LSM is a family, and when you're a part of a family, there are expectations, and there are values that you hold. And so because you're here at LSM, you're a part of a family. So we're going to talk about, Ryan and I are going to talk with them about being respectful, and we're going to talk about what does that look like. Because God values respect. He values the things that he asks us to value, the things that he's given us, the building, the friends, the relationships, the people. Then we are going to be people who are respectful. We're going to be kind people because God makes it clear that he values people. And so because he values people, we value people. And so what does that look like when you're sitting next to your friend or when you're Snapchatting through service or when you're sitting in your life group and you're repeatedly like squirting your friends with your water bottle that has a hole in the bottom. Like, what does that look like? And then we're going to tell them the action plan. So they're going to know, hey, every leader in this room has been trained. We're all on the same page. Here's what happens when you're not respectful or kind. You're going to get asked. You're going to get warned. You're going to be asked to step out or be removed. And then if that does not help solve the problem, then you'll get, you know, like Ryan or Kylie will have a conversation with you and then we'll contact your parents. So it's not going to, they're not going to be like, oh, I didn't know that. I mean, they might because have you met them?
They will.
But, and it's going to be repeatedly, like it's going to be an announcement slide every week for many weeks. Like, hey, here's what, remember, we're kind and we're respectful. Hey, remember. And then over time, we're hoping to have some of our student leaders also help us reiterate these same things. So it's not just like Ryan and I always speaking that, but other students are also reminding their peers, like, hey, we're respectful and we're kind people. So that is our plan. We're going to kick it off in January. At the first LSM back, we will have a little family meeting from the stage, and Ryan and I will kind of let the kids know, like, hey, this is what's happening. And I think not all of our issues, but some of them, like, we heard some feedback last week, even after we mentioned it once, like, from stage, like, hey, be respectful on your and on your way, like, to your group. And I think some of them just, like, they just need to know what the expectation is. And it's never been set because Ryan's been chasing a snowball down the hill for a while. So,
Sorry.
Yeah.
Because I think some of these kids, because they've never been here, might be very, very specific. Like, when we're singing,
yep.
This is what respectful and kind looks like.
Yep.
When Ryan or Kylie are teaching, this is what respectful and kind looks like. Are we going to do some of that? Kind of very specific. Because I think respectful and kind is abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. In my teacher brain, yes, we are. I haven't talked with Ryan about it yet, but yes, I think so.
Or if I could just make that suggestion.
We
sit up
and talk 3 hours, we're going to do that. But, our family sit down.
But yeah, yes, very specific. And even in your groups, like you could, there's like some freedom there as well. Whatever night we do, however that looks, that family meeting, like in your group, if it's most valuable to your students to talk for a little bit about some of those like very like okay, for our group, this is what kindness looks like, or even some, like the younger kids, it's really fun to do like, this is what it is, and then have kids act out like, this is what it's not. Like in fifth grade, we used to do that all the time. So yeah, not hard, but like can be impactful and fun. So yeah.
Question.
Good question. Yeah.
How does this change as far as like during small group time? Because I mean, I feel like we've talked a lot about this being during when we're in the worship session, but what about inside of small group time? Like, I can't, like if I remove a child, but I'm the only leader that's there, where do I remove them to?
Right. That's a good question.
Because if you're the only leader,
yeah, that's a problem.
If I tell them to go to the gym, everybody's going to be like, I want to go to the gym.
Right.
So where do I... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to know how that works.
I think we'll sit with my dad.
Go to the cafe and help.
Go see Dom. Go see Dom, yeah.
The naughty couch.
If you're the only one in your group, come find Al or I, and he or I will either facilitate the removal or will take over the discussion so you can take care of the removal.
Okay.
Or text them. Come get someone.
SOS. So, we have talked, and Ryan's thrown out, and I haven't, this was just like middle of the night, thought I haven't run by Ryan yet, but he had thrown out walkies to every leader, which is not feasible currently, but if you know you have students, like if you have the repeat offender kiddos in your group, it's fine with me if you want to grab a walkie, so that if you were in small group or something, you know, like most of the time Robin's in my group with me, so like I could leave her to facilitate and I could come help, or Ryan has a co-leader.
I'm not really doing anything during my small group anyway.
Al is always available, so we'll just walkie him.
Yeah, we just break up the groups. We just break up the groups, so we're separated. So
you're good.
I can't get to my other leaders.
So if you're like, we have lots of problem kiddos, and you're like, I just want to grab a walkie so that if I can't leave, but I've given the warning, and I've, like, then I can just, SOS.
Okay.
Whatever grade boys need help.
Yeah. If it's just one of the kids,
for our
I'll be like,
older girls.
If there's a student in your class, you'd be like, hey, could you ask this next question? You two, could you step out with me for a minute? Like,
yeah.
I mean, however it works best for your group.
But if your group couldn't do that, I don't know. It's fine with me
if you've got
want to walk in. Ruben.
You can also send a well-behaved child to go find someone.
Yeah.
Back. So, like, hey.
Go next door. Go next door and yell SOS.
We should have super signals. What is it, boy?
We are. Can I assume too that these are guide rooms, but if you are repeatedly asked and warned, and you show up next week at startup, we may just remove you.
I think you know your students best, and you're sitting with them week in, week out. So yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I'm just foreseeing those situations where it's like, what you warned me, and it's like, this is a guideline.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about your kids at home, or like my girls, what hits for Emmy Jo does not hit for Annabelle, and so like I think. Yes, this is the structure we want you to use, but also you know your students and you're sitting with them week in and week out. So, like, if there's a situation where you're like, we just need to step out, like, we trust you.
Plus, if we say it from the front over and over and over again, like, you know the expectation. Like, you can't say you didn't know.
Yeah.
Because we told you.
You can say that.
Yeah. But we also want them to know.
Weeks in a row.
We also, we don't want little robots at the same time. So also filter that through, like, the what is going to form them. What's going to form them? What's going to love them well? Not what's going to turn them into this little robotic kid who maybe continues to come or maybe is like, I don't want to be there anymore because whatever, So I would just say, yeah, always make sure you're filtering it through that. Like, we want to form them in the image of Christ. And we want to be, like, we want to be following in the way of Jesus while we're handling the behaviors. And so I know that's hard and it feels messy and it feels very gray. So we can do black and white and it feels gray all over. But
this is, I'm assuming that this is kind of like the floor level. It's like, if you don't know what else to do, we're going to give you some tools that at least do this. But like, it's not necessarily that we have to do that specifically. Because, like, in our group, there was one time when it helped a lot when we just split some of the kids apart. And then they started paying attention because they weren't sitting next to the person that was like that. It's like, I didn't need to take them out or anything like that. I just needed to move.
I think this is a little bit of the, like, in the sanctuary. I know, like, everybody has different thresholds of, like, I'm so annoyed, you know? Yeah. And so I think part of the hope of this is that, like, there's this universal language when we're specifically in the sanctuary. When you're leading your group, like, you know them. And so, you know, I mean, we have, like, some really squirrely girls in ours. And if we were to just be like, you have to sit there and you have to sit there and you have to sit here, they'd probably be fine. Like, but because, you know. So I think, yes, to answer your question, we just want to try and, like, kind of level the playing field and bring everybody's, like, hey, this is our expectation in the sanctuary so that we don't have someone who's, you know, I don't know. We all have different tolerances. We all grew up different sanctuary rules even. And so I think we carry that with us. But at LSM, especially because we're serving a generation that maybe has never stepped foot into a church building before, it just feels trickier and harder. And so.
And I will say, too, just a word of encouragement. It's really easy to forget this in the moment, but, like, the way that we, and disciplining other people's kids, like, every kid's not my kid, right? I don't have kids. I don't know what it's like to discipline your own kids. All of you guys all approach that different. And that's not necessarily, like, the point, but, like, the idea that every opportunity that we have to discipline into some degree, like, is a fresh opportunity that God is giving us to help, like, teach and model, like, the balance of grace and truth with a kid. For example, I had a lot of issues with another student that a lot of you guys have been very aware of over the last year, a couple semesters. A lot of heavy behavioral stuff, right? We ran a pretty similar play to what you're talking about. We're right all the way up to, like, having conversations with parents, like, hey, this can't happen again, kind of thing. That student, you know, shares with me only a handful of weeks ago of, like, domestic violence happening in their house. So I'm like, every time we've disciplined them or that God, that's an opportunity that the Lord has given us to model for them godly to the best of our ability with failures and not knowing what to say. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't have teenage kids. I'm just trying to apply the same principles as you guys or whatever. Like, I've never taken a class on how to discipline students at a church event for kids that aren't your own. It's like, it's hard. But at the same time, like, I just knew, like, very clearly, like, God has brought that student to act out here to give us a platform to show them the grace and truth of God in His Word. Modeled through the way that we handled misbehavior, too. Like, that's just as much a teaching opportunity as them having a fully engaged, smarter conversation or taking sermon notes. Like, I'm hoping and praying, like, the conversations that we've had will be life-changing to be like, I'm praying, like, those are the way that we've approached that and prayed for whatever will forever change the way that student's like, okay, godly men approach these situations this way. Not perfectly, you know, but, like, just an encouragement. Like, I know it's frustrating, but it's like, that's part of the gig. And it's kind of cool part of the gig that we get to help model that for kids that are our own in a really challenging, it's really, really hard, but it's so important. So just a word, that was just my little story. Encourage you to, I know it's tricky, but it's great. It's a great opportunity that God gives us when these things happen.
Or even, like, just, like, throwing in, like, whatever the offending behavior is. If they're, like, way too energetic in, like, during worship, being like, I love your energy, I love that you're here. Like, I don't know, trying to, like spin it in a positive way, just say, and, you know, like, in order, like, for everyone else to, like, you know, have their moment with, I don't know, just kind of throwing that into, and not just being like, hey, knock it off. Like, I mean, some of them you can, but some are kind of, like, to your point of, like, you never know what's going on with that kid, or not just coming in hard with a hammer.
Yes. Any other questions?
I would just say I appreciate, like, I think having it come from the top, like the stage,
will be really helpful in us being able to kind of enforce it better, because sometimes I kind of have felt like,
I don't know
if I can say something or should I say something. Like, normally I might say something, but now I'm like, I don't know if I should, because I know these kids, you know, just having that permission, I feel like you're giving me permission to say things.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind people that boundaries are good for children and for adults, and that, you know, even God put boundaries on us, right? So it's okay for them to have boundaries, and that's not a negative necessarily.
Yep.
As long as we couch it in love and use our loving voices.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's all. Join staff and you get the hard and heavy at the meeting.
That's true.
I know. And he ruined my slides. But I think, do you have anything else? All right. I think that's all. Thank you guys for being here. We appreciate you guys taking the time. I know it's time away from families and restful Sundays and all the other things. So thank you for being here today. And we'll see you Wednesday for a Christmas party.